This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
Hi, you mob. We here at the Sovereign Podcast would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people, family, children and elders, past and present, on the land on which we meet today, Whadjuk Noongar Boodja.
It's a privilege to be standing on Noongar country, and we should all be proud to call Boorloo and the surrounding waters of the Derwal Yerrigan our home.
This is something that's not spoken about at all. As Blackfellas navigating through uni, we don't get to live in these situations. No. We have to survive in them.
And yeah, now we're here.
Now we're here. We made it this far.
Hiya, and welcome to the Sovereign Podcast, a show made by sister girls for sister girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people who may relate.
We come to you from Boorloo as two First Nations women from the outer regions of WA, with so many stories of home and navigating our lives here in the city.
Central to our show is our Black lens and perspective, which comes from our lived experience as Black girls in today's society. On the Sovereign Podcast, we will talk about topics that stretch from First Nations affairs to beauty and fashion, navigating university, relationships, life in your 20s, and everything else in between.
We hope that through this podcast, you learn, laugh, and feel the love, comfort, and sisterhood we are bringing to you with every episode. So stay tuned.
Hey, you mob!
It's IJ.
And Shah.
And welcome back to the Sovereign Podcast. Charlie doesn't have much to say because she was in here not too long ago.
Oh, no, I was in here like yesterday, peak hour, traffic.
Rough.
No, it's
rain,
okay.
Peak hour.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible this morning though. Did you experience it
this morning? I don't like that. I checked the weather app, but it's like sunny all day. All right. And I'm like looking outside, I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. There's literally like a dark cloud glooming over us.
I know.
It was terrible. I feel like it was hailing, but I didn't want to be like that type of person to assume it was hail because that's so stupid. Because like my car, maybe it's just broken or something.
Oh my God.
But it was making the click, 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 click sound as it was raining. And I was like, is it hail? I don't want to like make assumptions.
Oh my God. I get so scared.
Probably wasn't hailing. I was just being stupid.
You're
cute with your glasses.
Thank you. I actually need to get prescription glasses, but I'm too lazy to get them.
They're not prescription?
These are ones that are like 2X like enlargement and like blue light as well, because I read lots on my computer. And like, so I went to the optometrist and I was like, my eyes really hurt. I get really bad headaches. And she was like, yeah, girl, like you need help.
Oh,
she said
no.
That there's something like my eyes like lock focus and they can't unfocus.
Oh, that's
actually, why I get headaches.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah,
I'm kind of concerned.
So I need glasses to like help me not like lock my eyes on things. But we're raw dogging it. Cost of living.
Cost of living.
Fuck the glasses.
Insurance, bruh. Terrible. No, I get what you mean. I have been terrible as well. My mum actually is like an eye. What's it called?
Person?
I don't know. Not an optometrist. It's something
like
else.
She knows about eyes.
She knows about eyes. It's just her field of work.
Oh, yeah. Because she's a nurse, hey?
Yeah. So she, like, is really good with that sort of stuff. But it's all right. Anyways.
Do you know that I was, like, maybe 16 or 17 when I figured out the whole carrot thing's, like, not true?
Yeah, no, that's a myth, hey?
I don't know why I thought that it would be true. But
there was this. Why do people come? How does that even work?
Eating it doesn't.
Carrots, eating
it
carrots
doesn't. It was just, like, the whole, like, apple a day keeps the doctor away thing.
Such a lie. Oh, and like, I don't know, maybe it's an ethnic thing. Ethnic people come up with weird myths too.
That's
there
true.
There was like a random one. My cousin, he's colorblind and his dad made him put honey in his eyes to fix his. I'm like, I don't think that's.
Well, that would have been a letdown.
I don't know. I just feel like ethnic people have weird remedies.
Well, I thought that I was going to get like pregnant with a watermelon if I ate watermelon seeds, like when I was a kid, so I didn't eat them.
That's actually
someone told me that's what happened.
Wait, that's like similar to like, I never used to have like apple seeds.
Oh,
because
in the
I thought it, yeah, because I thought the apples, like
people
if I accidentally
scare
eat
you
one,
with that for no reason.
Yeah, I feel like an apple would grow in my stomach. That's what I thought. Anyway.
Oh, no, you know what my mum said?
What?
Because I grew up having a really grumpy, sassy, like RBF, like really like resting bitch face. Like I still do have one, but when I was a kid, I guess it was less favourable. Mm-hmm. My mum would always say, if the wind changes, your face will stay like that. So like if you're caught on a bad day with that face like, and the wind changes, your face is going to be stuck like that forever.
Your face is going to be stuck like that.
And I was like paranoid. I was like... The wind ain't gonna catch me today.
Not today. Your first stop. The wind. IJ's first
stop.
Oh
my God, stop.
No, that's hilarious.
What else? I've just been in an assignment last night.
Oh yeah, no, how you been?
Yeah. Not not that great. But after this, okay, so I submitted an assignment last night. I've got court submissions to work on this week. And then after that, I'm on the home stretch because then I have a 1 week assessment and an exam and then I'm done.
And then you're completed.
For one trimester. I've got another trimester
not another one left.
No, I've got heaps left. I just mean for this year.
Oh. I feel terrible.
It's never ending.
It won't end.
Never ending.
Oh, no. Look at you go, though. Another assignment in the bag.
Yeah.
And then a couple more left.
I know. And it's interesting because I got feedback on one and it was in depth. Like this man, Slay, his name's Hugh, he made like a 10-minute video, like a screen share, like reviewing my assessment. And then he like attached two marking keys and whatever, whatever. And I got another assignment back from evidence and it said, like, my grade and, like, applied the law, well, whatever, da-da, like, one sentence. And I was like, what am I meant to do with that? I'm getting ripped to pieces in one and I'm just getting, like,
a little...
Yeah, you kind of ate.
You ate. Yeah.
You kind of ate that.
Yeah, that's so annoying.
And I'm just like, you know what? Stuff this.
Oh, thank God I don't have to deal with that anymore.
I can't wait to go to Broome and just not care about
it. Yeah, you should be looking forward to your holiday. That's
I'm going
to
shake
good.
My ass on a yacht.
In Dubai. I've been suffering for 20 years. Or 19 years, whatever
I'm
she said.
Tan and do all those good things and not think about this stupid university.
No, disgusting.
Have you been having seasonal sadness?
What does that mean? Like depression?
Like seasonal depression, but like I personally wouldn't go as far to say I've had seasonal depression. I just say like I just feel so crap because of the weather.
Yeah, no, that's...
Like I feel like life has just a better vibe when the weather is so good consistently.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to go to a coffee shop. It's pouring rain. Or like... Oh, actually, I don't mind that. But, like, I don't want to get out of bed because I'm just, like, so, like, cold. Like, I don't like going outside because it's wet and rainy and my shoes get ruined. Like,
there's so much cons to this weather.
There is.
I was like that last year during uni. Like, it was pouring, bucketing rain. And that was the one day I found parking, too. And I drove all the way to uni and I was like, oh, never mind.
Stuck in my car, yeah.
I was like, no. And I actually turned around and went, I did not go
any
to my
minor
class.
Inconvenience and I'm leaving.
Yeah, that minor inconvenience equals the weather. No, I feel you on that seasonal sadness thing. It doesn't make you want to really do much at all.
No. And I just feel like also as like brown people, I don't want to speak on for all brown people, but like it's just I'm not myself is not conducive to this weather. Like my skin is not great. I'm like pale.
Mm.
It's dry vibes. Like I need to be in humid
weather.
You need
to be in
humid.
Like
that's just where I kind of like thrive, I think.
No, 100% agree. Maybe it's just a sign for us to like rest up, not bother doing much.
That's true.
Not bother doing much, even though like the weather's such an inconvenience.
Yeah. Because when the weather turns, that's like festival season. Like when you wrap up with your work and stuff, you have all the Christmas parties or like end of year parties or like you go on holiday or whatever it is. Like life is very actually fast, even though it's fun. It's like busy. I guess it's like a dead period.
Have you been up to much other than uni?
No. Oh my God, I'm like a loser. Like I literally just spend my life at uni. Like, I better get a fat check from this. Mm. Oh, I will say, I got this, like, law award. Like, that's what I told
congrats.
You about.
Congrats.
Thanks. I was very happy at that because, like, I feel like I've just spent the last, like, couple months at the library, at uni, and it doesn't pay off, obviously, until
but
you get a
like
job
that,
later.
Yeah, stuff
but,
like that's
yeah,
important.
That kind of stuff. Like, I was really happy with that because it was just, like, your hard work is kind of recognised a bit.
That's awesome, as you should.
So, yeah.
Always have to, like, pay... like homage to your tribute, like to your achievements and stuff, you know what
true.
I mean?
True. And I hope for people where like maybe they don't get an award or something, there's something else that can help them feel validated.
Of course.
Especially in courses where like psych and law and teaching, like where you have to, or med, like where you have to do placements and like lots of processes even after you've graduated to like practice and it takes extra long, like you don't reap the benefits of all your hard work in uni until long after. Because, like, after I finished this degree, which would have taken me, like, 5 years, have practical legal training and then admission to court, like, all these other things, and it's like, it's going to be a while before that check hits.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's, like, really good to keep in mind and stuff. I'm sure a lot of people would
resonate. Yeah, but also we're not valuing our worth on other people's validation. Validate your own academics, babes.
Period.
Period. That part. Yeah, we blessed in the west, no doubt. North to the south, all we're about is keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say now. So on today's episode, we are doing something I'm so excited about.
Yeah, you're excited.
I'm so excited.
Please summarize.
I'm on this like rotting side of TikTok and of the internet and of music.
Mm.
And in honor, I've also changed my screen color of my computer to brat green. So on June 7, as part of Charli XCX's Brat release of her album, she released a song called Girl So Confusing, which was a song about her frenemy feud with, like, an unnamed fellow singer and, like, the difficulty and overthinking she was experiencing in her relationship with this singer who she felt like she didn't have much in common with but was, for whatever reason, always, like, pit against. At the time it came out, like, multiple theories were floating around as to who it was about. But a lot of people kind of landed on Lorde. And, like, for the last, like, decade, there's been, like, memes but also, like, comparisons between Lorde and Charli XCX because this, like, one interviewer in 2014, like, got them mixed up and Charli XCX, like, didn't correct her. She just did the whole interview pretending to be Lorde. So it sparked this whole, like meme. But then everyone's like, wait, they actually kind of look the same. They kind of act the same. And, like, it started this whole thing. So after all the whispers, Charli released, like, a snippet of the song, which was a remix, which had Lorde on it. And everyone, like, the world got shook. And also, like, have you been seeing the Brat Wolves?
I've been seeing Brat Girl Summer.
Brat Girl Summer, Brat Girl Winter. Like, so, yeah, to promote her album, it's, like, she's been putting these, like, bright green walls up around the world that say Brat on them for people to take photos at and, like, as album promotion. And she did a white wall that said Lorde on it. So everyone was like, ooh, gagged. So then they released the remix and, like, the world went crazy. I checked today and on Spotify alone it has, like, over 21 million streams already.
That's crazy.
And it's been out for 2 weeks.
Oh wow, that's
so
insane.
They kind of ate with that.
They kind of did.
And I just wanted to, I also listened to an interview that Charli XCX did with BBC Radio 1, and she said that she knew when the first song came out people would, like, misconstrue it as a diss track, but she didn't mean it that way. And she was like, if you listen more closely to the lyrics, the song's about being confused where you stand with another woman. It's not about attacking the personality or anything of the other person. You just don't love or hate someone. There are so many emotions in between those two very drastic ends of the spectrum. So that's essentially what the song's about. And I love the song. It's like, seriously, I know the whole thing, like, top to bottom.
Yeah.
And the words, like, are so impactful, but the song's, like, a boppy,
very,
like,
techie.
DJE, electronic, I don't even know. It's just, I find that interesting as well because it's so boppy, but, like, girl, when we did this lyric breakdown, like, you'll be gooped and gagged.
Well, I mean, I listened to the song. It's not my genre of music, but I did love Charli XCX back in the day.
True.
However, I had no idea. Like, this album release, it just wasn't really, like, it didn't really click with me.
Girl.
So, I don't listen to that type of music.
True.
So when I listened to this song, I was like,
it didn't make sense.
Didn't make sense. It was just making me, like, cringe because I was like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
But upon, you know, you mentioning this, I did do some research and I was, like, trying to, like, grasp it and understand it a bit more. And I was like, oh, there's, like, a lot of meaning behind this for sure. But yeah,
the actual song itself, it doesn't necessarily line up with, like, the lyrics as such. Like, I could see Lorde doing something like this as, like, a ballad.
Yeah,
but Charli's kind of fit the words to her, like, aesthetic.
Her aesthetic. Yeah, I got that. I got that a bit more because I was like, is this Lorde? Because it didn't really sound like Lorde at first.
True.
And I was like, is she on this track?
Yeah.
But I think real girls know that, you know, this is, like, experimental, or, like, real people.
True.
It's really experimental, boppy type music, and maybe they really wanted to leave something, like, a mark from it. So, I mean, yeah, when you put it in that perspective, I guess the song, the music itself kind of
is different.
Yeah. You need to differentiate the two.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've brought some lyrics in so we can chat about them because they all kind of, like, fit into different things. But, yeah, I personally am here for the Brat album. I saw Charli XCX last year at a festival, which was, like, all not techno, but, like, Snake Hips. Do you know Snake Hips? Or, like,
yeah, I know Snake Hips, like, the producer or DJ or whatever.
That, like, those kind of, like, people were there. So
isn't
I don't mind.
Isn't she, like, on tour at the moment with, like, Troye Sivan or something?
Yeah.
I think I saw that on TikTok.
Yeah. I almost went feral because Troye Sivan didn't put Perth in his tour Australia, but he's from Perth. But I think he's going to save some surprises for us.
Probably.
Anyway, but, yeah, just before we get to the lyrics, I personally, I get the type of music isn't for everyone. It's sometimes not for me as well, where it's too techno. But I appreciate what she's done in, like we said a couple episodes ago about having a cohesive album. Like, she definitely has done that. And she's finally, like, kind of getting recognition because like you said, she's always been around. Like, she had big ones like Boom Clap, or she wrote like, I Love It for Icona Pop. Mm. And she's wrote lots of famous songs, but she's never really like been like mega. So I'm happy for her that this album's doing really well. And yeah, I would describe the music as tech, pop, gay, club.
Yeah, clubby vibe.
And she's a DJ as well, so I guess it matches.
Yeah, that's actually sick.
So here's some things from Charlie's original verse. I'll read out the segments and then we can kind of yap about what we think. So one of the first ones is, I don't know if you like me. Sometimes I think you might hate me. Sometimes I think I might hate you. Ooh. Maybe you just want to be me.
Ooh.
And it's just like,
it's like kind of like your inner monologue.
Yeah.
I mean, look, now that I think about it, I'll be honest, like, when you say the lyrics, yeah, you're right, it's so hard-hitting and impactful. And it's kind of like how every 20-something girl feels about another girl.
Exactly. And do you know what this made me think of? Those girls that, like, you might have an issue with that you don't meet, that people create an issue between you.
Yeah.
Or you're, like, old friends or you're mutuals on socials. And it's like you're sussing each other out. You're like, I don't know if you like me. I don't know if we're friends. Like, I don't know if you hate me secretly. Like, but I'm in the same spot as you.
I'm in the same spot as you. Or, like, I don't – and there's no, like, there wouldn't be, like, hate, from first instance, like, you're not going to see someone and just hate them from the go. But there's just that underlying sense of, does this person like me?
Yeah, where do we stand? Like, we're not best friends, but, like, exactly. We know each other.
And then the problem in itself arises from your assumptions.
That's true.
Because you're going around saying, oh, yeah, like, I don't know if she likes me.
Or you might treat them a certain way because you are, like, being a bit, like, having your guard up. Or sometimes people will just be like, oh, that girl gave me a look when I was out. Like, I don't like her. And it's like,
maybe she just has an RBF.
Maybe she didn't even see you.
I actually had this
instance
with a girl, and she, like, I always thought for, like, 3 years she hated me. I was like, no, like, she used to work at the store as well, and so she would just give me daddy looks, and I'd be like, what the hell? But turns out we just both had this underlying perception where we're like, oh, nah, like, we don't like each other based on just, like, one misunderstanding. When you're confronted with that person, in, like, real life.
Yeah.
Rather than
socials just, is bad.
Yeah. And when you see each other in public and you're just like, you don't know if you want to talk to them or not.
That's true.
And you actually put in a room with them. It kind of, I don't know, challenges that. But I don't know. Like, I feel like that line is really
It's really impactful. And I think also, like, people will pit two people against each other that have never been associated. Mm. And that we'll talk about that later. But also, like, someone might be like, someone else might tell you, like, oh, Charlene, that girl was staring at you, like, funny. Or, like, that girl told me that she doesn't like you. And it's, like, hearsay. Yeah. And then that starts a beef between you with someone you haven't really even interacted with.
Yeah.
And so it's the whole, like, oh, well, I don't know where you stand. I don't know where I stand. I think we're in the same boat.
We're in the same boat. And, like, we're literally trying to get through this little competition that's set up for some random reason in our heads.
Yeah.
No, that's actually really, that's really interesting. I've just pulled it up. I pulled up the document as well. So I'm going to, like, read along with you.
This is what I was just talking about now. The line, people say we're alike. They say we've got the same hair. I thought, like, when I first heard it, I was thinking it was like a throwaway lyric. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That, like, people have said that. They've said, like, oh, they both have, like, bushy, long hair, whatever. And it's like, who gives a flying damn? That does not make them comparable.
Not at
all. Like, people will pinpoint small things about women to plant a seed in their head to think that they need to be in some kind of competition with another woman. Like, we're not, also what? We're just going to say they've got the same hair and the same kind of demeanor. We're just going to ignore the completely different styles of music they make, the completely different, you know, spheres in which they operate and have, you know, fame in. Like, what the hell?
It's that immature side of it as well, because it's like, they just want to pinpoint one similarity that could make...
It could cast doubt in you.
Yeah.
It could cause drama. It could cause, like, you to compare yourself to them when, like, apples and oranges, like, not the same.
They're not the same. And I think that also, like, reminds me of just how when women... As opposed to, like, when men beef or when women are supposedly beefing, it's entertainment, apparently.
Yeah.
When you think about Nicki and Megan.
Yeah.
For example, that was entertainment, when in reality, that could have just been pure, like, that could have been purely avoided.
Yeah.
If there wasn't any misogynistic, you know, outlook of it. Like, I feel like that could have totally been avoided.
Yeah.
Save keeping away, like, those misogynistic remarks from each other. For example, regarding this as well, if you're comparing the same hair of two women.
Well, then me and Charlene now, we got, what, you got dark hair and brown skin, even though we're doing completely different things, you know? It's just, like, I think also what's upsetting and what needs to be reset is that not only do men instigate this, but some other women do, because patriarchy is so embedded in their way of
being. It's the norm, bro.
Yeah.
It's
so the norm. They think also that it's okay to be like, oh, well, she's doing, like, that class, she's doing that degree, like, don't you hate her? Like, don't you just think you're going to do better than her? It's like, girl, shush. It takes a strong person to, like, push away those people that act that way. I've worked really hard at, like, not entertaining those things, because it's really, like, negative and toxic. And, like, you don't have energy to be beefing with people you don't got stuff to do with.
Exactly.
Like, you're going to have beef with someone because they hit your dog. Like, you don't have to have beef with someone because they're, like, studying the same thing as you.
I mean, yeah, that one, that part's true. It's always something. Women, I guess, even just growing up, it's such a normalized thing.
I've done it. I've been a victim of it. I've whispered in someone's ear. I've been whispered to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and, like, even in, like, primary school or high school, we're often taught to compete against. It's, like, it's just really standardized and normalized. In reality, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I find it, like, an immature view that you want to be better than another woman instead of celebrating the fact that there are multiple of you doing well.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
There's been people in my life, like, that have just, like, been really awful to me.
Yeah,
like,
same, bro.
There was this girl, like, I've had people that my ex was seeing, like, be compared to me or whatever, and I just, like, mustered up the courage to be like, I got no reason to hate you. Like, I have actually zero reason to hate you. Like, good on you for doing what makes you happy. And, like, even people that haven't liked me sat their ass down and listened to this podcast. I saw a photo of it. Listened to when this podcast launched. And I'm just like, it took all the willpower in me to not be hateful and not hate other women and just be like, live your life, sis. I don't have hate for you.
You should, no one should. I don't understand why people are instigators in that regard. Like, when you see other women winning, especially, the last thing anyone would want is to, you know, bring about a culture of competition or hatred. I think we should celebrate, as you mentioned, each other's wins and uplift each other through our challenges. I think that's it's a very interesting part of that song.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, competing or comparing two women against each other, when in reality we're all very different.
And for Shara and I's, like, perspective, I feel like, honestly, if another, like, two young First Nations women maybe on the East Coast started up a podcast, which they have, I've seen more pop up since we've launched Sovereign, like, my initial thought is not to, like, hate them.
Never.
It's like, that is such a niche market still. Like, go ahead, like, find success in that. Like, we're not, like, looking to have competition or hate with people.
No. In fact, this is why we started this podcast in the first place, because we didn't see enough people like us represented. So seeing other staunch, lovely people doing it is amazing.
More power to you.
More power.
The next lyric is, can't tell if you want to see me falling over and failing, and you can't tell what you're feeling. I think I know how you feel.
Again, it's that assumption at the end.
Yeah. Like,
I think I know how you feel.
Because you feel lost, but I feel lost too.
Exactly.
So I don't know if you want to see me flop, but, like, if you feel the same way that I feel, you don't want to see me flop because I don't want to see you flop.
I don't want to see you flop. Period. Yeah, we blessed in the West, no doubt. North to the South, all we're about is
keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say now. So then we move on to Lorde's verse. This is where she's kind of speaking in response to Charlie's first verse and speaking about where she was at. So she says, for the last couple of years, I've been at war with my body. I tried to starve myself thinner and then I gained all the weight back. I was trapped in the hatred and your life seemed so awesome. Never thought for a second my voice was in your head.
Lorde's verse?
That's Lorde in response. So she's essentially saying, in amongst all your overthinking about me, I was acting that way towards you because I was going through my own internal things, like my own internal struggle that had me so trapped in my own problems, I didn't even notice that you were worried about me or overthinking our relationship or anything like that. And, Yeah, I think that's like so many women have internal struggles that people don't know about that cause them to lose touch with friends and family members. Like we've all experienced it, whether it's a breakup or like this, like, you know, eating problems, all these things, whether it's mental health, whether it's whatever it is, like we've all had that thing that causes us to just lose touch with people. And then sometimes people can message you like really upset with you or they're missing you, wondering where you are, and you're just kind of so stuck in your own problem that the world just keeps moving around you.
That's a very vulnerable and relatable lyric. Like those lyrics are very vulnerable and relatable. That whole verse is actually. Yeah. Lord speaking about an eating disorder especially is, again, it's so hard hitting. And it's like she says that line, I never thought for a second my voice was in your head. Like, I don't know if I should be seeing that as a, because when you reflect on, if she sounds like she's reflecting on her past struggles with it, with starving herself as a, you know, as a result from all the hatred and the competition that was set against them. But yeah, I don't know. It's just really, I don't know. What's like the point of all this? Like what's the...
Well, yeah, I think she's saying, like, here you were sitting around, like, overthinking, stressing so much, and here I was not even aware and conscious of it because I was so caught up in my own real life struggles. And so that's also, like, where the whole, like, uncertainty as to where you stand is, because Lod's not, like, entertaining it. She's got her own problems. Charlie's sitting there wondering, like, she's icing me out. What's the problem? Like, what have I done? Why does she hate me? Why does she want me to fail?
Exactly.
And it just speaks to how... Like, I'll talk about it later, but, like, it speaks to how people go through things and you just don't know, and, like, how much, especially in female friendships, that can be affected.
Yeah, because, again, it's that assumption thing. It's like, I see a girl prospering, I see a girl having all her, you know, she has a shit together, she's, you know, she's got everything in the world, she's got a perfect boyfriend, she could have, like, you know, the most amazing, or, you know, just a perfect relationship. She could have everything. And... yet deep down, we never know what that girl is going through. So that there's always like a reason behind why people are the way they are. And I think this relates back to even growing up. I mean, I'd have like, you know, maybe this is how I just grew up. I grew up with a massive empathy streak. And I would that would often let me be walked over or let, you know, other women, you know, kind of all girls... kind of, yeah, as I mentioned, walk all over me, treat me like absolute crap. And then I would come home, complain about it, or just in general have a hissy fit about it. And then someone would tell me, oh, no, you don't know what they're going through. They could, this is just, maybe they're just projecting it, which I think this song mentions. But anyway,
yeah, it does.
It's always a projection behind something. And that's how people, especially empaths, have been forced to grow up. Like I've never had the opportunity to be selfish about the trauma people have caused me or the hatred I was received because I was always empathizing with another girl and I was like maybe their life is just not as solid as mine in the instance and they just need to project it and take it out on someone. And even that as an action, like even them acting out and projecting it, it has a whole history of, again, like the male gaze or male instigators or the patriarchy or even just the society we live in with social issues and the body image.
You're
going
to gag.
Oh, my God. Keep going. Like the whole idea of projection and like.
Yeah, Lord does mention that later.
Oh, let's get to it.
I swear. I don't think there's like, God knows. I've forgotten.
You went over.
Girl, you walk like a bitch. When I was 10, someone said that.
Ooh.
And it's just self-defense until you're building a weapon. So I think, well, my interpretation of that was like, even from a small age, like people enforce like stereotypes and thoughts and scrutinize young women for living. And like this can lead girls to tear themselves apart or think it's okay to tear other girls apart and project, like you said, project false images to protect themselves because they're ripping themselves apart inside.
What I find really interesting is the fact that she remembered someone said that to her at the age of 10.
That's true.
Do you not have that? As well, I feel like I growing up, I was there was something this girl said to me, or just someone actually said to me that I still remember until this day, and it was like, "You look like a boy."
Ooh.
I remember someone said that to me, and it stuck with me for my entire life. Kid you not, and it's only because I've had hairy arms my entire freaking life,
yeah.
Or like I'd have, you know, a lot more hair on my body, you know, I mean, I feel like, which I've realized now is normal.
Yeah.
Which is completely normal. But
growing
up,
it plants that seed.
It plants that seed that I need to be different or grow up differently. So I find that line really interesting.
Mine was like, oh, sorry to cut you off. Mm. Mine was when I was a little kid, I used to do ballet and I was like, the videos are so embarrassing because like all the girls are petite and tiny and white. And I was like tall and like chubby and black. And a little girl said to me, "You have dirty skin." Because I was brown.
Yeah.
And like, because in, I guess in Adelaide, like in the early 2000s, people didn't see many like Aboriginal people. I don't know. And that stuck with me. Like, you have dirty skin. So I was always like really confused. Like, if I wanted to be darker, if I, like, I was really confused.
Oh, that's
I was like, because my mum and my sister are fair. I was like, so is it just me, my brother, and my dad? Like, that was the comment that stuck with me. So it's very true. And I even thought about like how, like, little girls, it, like, parenting is very important, you know? Like, I thought if you say to a little girl, oh, your dress and your bow looks so, so gorgeous or whatever it is, period, that's one thing. But to say, like, oh, you're prettier than all the other girls, aren't you? Or, like,
exactly,
you know, or, like, that language, that use of language can really shape how young women see themselves, like, perceive themselves and perceive other girls. You know, that language change in itself could teach a little girl that it's okay to pick apart other women. It's about there's only one prettiest. Not everyone is gorgeous or smart.
It's ingrained in your head. If that's what the people around you are telling you constantly, then you're going to think it's normal and you're going to think it's okay to shun other people. I used to have like a coordinator for this certain program I was in, and we were all Indigenous girls. We're all black girls. And she would always pinpoint how there was a certain, you know, some girls, they're born with like blue eyes and tan skin or like with blonde hair and all of that sort of
freckles,
stuff. Very
whatever,
Western
Eurocentric kind of
qualities.
Standards.
And she would always pinpoint and say, oh, you girls are models. Like, you guys should be models. You girls are so stunning. You girls look like absolute like dolls. And she would always say that every time they'd walk into a room. And then whenever we'd be there, it's like we were invisible. So we always, even girls growing up, and the only reason why I bring that aspect into it is because even when you feel like you are similar to a group of girls, there's always someone out there trying to pinpoint a different quality.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a bit more better than yours, or like makes you feel like it's better than yours, and when in reality that should never be the case.
Yeah,
I think adults as well have instilled that within you know, our heads, and maybe even women who didn't grow up with certain qualities that they wanted to have like inflicted that upon future generations.
When I worked in a high school, I saw mothers jealous of their own daughters. I have a friend that I grew up with, and her mum used to pick her apart in front of everyone.
That's not good.
And then, like, even worse, she would be like, well, look at your friends. Like, she's skinny, she's tall, she's smart. Like, you're not. And, like you cannot tell me that that language did not affect my friend
100%.
For her entire life. And she's worked so hard to build that up again.
It's that really ruins your confidence as a kid, and then when you see that's the normalized language used, then you're going to use it upon other people. I mean, especially with brown girls, just to take that also a step back, is like we've always had to have that extra special quality because otherwise we're just brown. We're invisible already.
We're already behind in the race.
Society's perception of beauty, we're not it.
Yeah, that's true.
We're already behind, and so we've always wanted to have that extra quality to just stand out. And you can see that whenever I'm around in a room of brown girls, there's sometimes you can feel like, you know, with comments that are being made, it's like we all have internalized issues. And I mean, for example, my sister, who's fairly darker than me, and she's tall, like my sister's chocolate brown. All my siblings are all different colors. Like,
your brother's quite dark too.
My brother is darker than my sister as well, and my little sister, she's like lighter than all of us. But my sister, like Marky, who is on the podcast, she's really dark, chocolatey skin. And a family member, brown family member, actually told her, oh, you need more makeup than Charlene. Imagine how Marky must have felt hearing that.
That is awful.
Like, oh, you and I look alike, therefore we need makeup. So Marky was like, damn, is there like a certain...
It's almost like don't project your insecurities onto me
just because we look
don't
alike.
Share the misery.
Exactly. I think brown women, we're all beautiful, or like women in general, we're all beautiful just the way we are. Like,
yeah,
it's just, it sucks how we all have that internalized. And even I can admit it, sometimes I do have that internalized perception of myself that I project onto others.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm like, oh, damn, like,
it's something that you workshop. No one's really perfect. It's just kind of, at least you can recognize it.
Exactly.
Some people that don't, it's like, oh, I feel sorry for you.
No self-awareness as well, clearly.
Again, about the projection, she goes, she believed my projection and now I totally get it. Mm. So that's the projection part. But what I put in here was, forgot that inside that icon, there's still a young girl from Essex. And this is like kind of playing on what you were talking about when you're talking about empathy. People can be too harsh on others, completely forgetting that they're not invincible.
Mm.
Like, you can say, oh, that bitch, like, and say how much you hate her, but you're acting like at the end of the day, she doesn't, like, hit the pillow and cry.
Mm.
Or, like, that she's a young woman just like you, or that she goes home to whatever circumstances you don't know.
Exactly.
So it's a balance of having empathy for people and not, like, dehumanizing them to think that they're some, like, invincible warrior bitch or whatever.
Exactly.
But also, like, don't take it so far that you get so caught up in feeling sorry or worried for someone that you don't stand up for yourself. It's a balance.
It's a balance, but
I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting to see how people receive this episode. I definitely feel empathy, but like, I feel like that is like more rare what you did. Like, that girl, I have empathy. I don't know if I have that much. Like,
I mean, I think growing up in my circle and the women that I grew up around, I was grateful enough to have really supportive, loving women around me. And my mum's sisters, for example, there's five of them who are all so different. So different, and growing up with close proximity with them, they would be happiest over the most like smallest things. I mean, when I grew up with a very supportive environment, very supportive, and I'm very grateful to say that. So and because of it, I would mirror their actions. When someone was always to them or would talk crap about them, they were very. They would always say, look, like, as long as you know who you are as a person, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Don't take it extreme. Or if it really is bothering you, address them nicely. And if they come back to you with a sharp way or like in a way that you didn't expect them to, just ignore it.
Yeah.
Move on. That's remember who true. You are at the end of the day. Like, for example, even, I mean, my aunties are my biggest champions till this day. And my siblings are as well. My cousins are as well. I think I was really grateful to have that amazing supportive environment around me, that whenever I left that bubble, I felt really scared because, I mean, I keep my circle really small and my circle's really supportive of me. And that's only because I'm mirroring what I've seen. And
that's true.
I've seen amazing, lovely women who are just so super supportive and super loving and see you as their own, or they don't really have perceptions or preconceived notions of someone before meeting them. They see people for who they are, or, you know. And the reason why I brought up the fact that I'd just be a really big empath is because, yes, like, standing for yourself's like important, which I do. I mean,
It's a balancing act.
Sometimes people don't want to check in with their internalized like prejudice towards you, or they don't want to confront you, and that's totally okay. But as long as I'm prospering and I know who I am, that's all that honestly matters to me. But if I think a lot of things could be avoided if there was more conversations.
I think the whole song is, if they had sat down and had a chat about this whole like years of confusion would 100%. Have been eliminated, you know, like they would hear the perspective that's expressed in this song in a 10-minute conversation or an, you know, half an hour conversation.
Just like, it could even be like a voice note, hey.
True.
But that's why this is so powerful, because it's actually two women sitting down working it out through a song. Like, you don't actually see that, hey.
No.
It's cool.
This reminds me, I had a best friend. She said I can actually talk about this.
Okay.
Her name's Anya. Love you, Anya. She said she's going to have a listening party if she gets mentioned in the podcast.
Oh, bless her soul.
So, hey to the listening party. Anya and I became very good friends in high school, and we became best friends, like inseparable best friends. And by year 11 and 12, Anya was going through her own personal struggles with home life, with like internally, who am I, like, you know, even like Anya's proudly queer and all these kinds of things. Like, in high school, we were all sorting it out. I was working through ATAR and my career and family issues and stuff like that. And so we ended up having like massive beef. And because I had a cohort of 20 people, everybody knew about it. It was like some of it happened in the group chat with our entire year level in the group chat. And so for 2 years we had this feud and people just knew that we didn't speak.
Oh,
we
like
didn't
look at each other. The two people
that
just liked
each other. Yeah. Everybody knew about it. Then we both moved to Perth and we still didn't talk. And then about after a year of both living in Perth, we just sat down. We went out for breakfast and we sat down and we talked it out. That was our remix. And now we're very, very close friends. And there was so much confusion because I didn't know she was going through all those things and she didn't know that I wasn't just a stuck-up bitch. I was actually going through hard things too. So 100%. We just kind of went through it and now we're like so super close.
That's so beautiful to see. I think that's the power of friendships and the power of maintaining even just conversation. I think if you don't have friends, then you don't want enemies now, do you?
That's true. You can't harbour that negative energy.
Yeah, because then that just goes to show who you are as a person. It's not cute, is it?
Yeah, your boy, he had to put the city on the map. Boorloo, my sister girl, you know exactly where it's at.
Our final lyric is, I'm going to have to try so hard not to like sing it the way it's sung.
You can sing it.
People say we're alike. They say we've got the same hair. It's you and me on the coin. This is a good one, actually. It's you and me on the coin the industry loves to spend.
Oh.
And when we put this to bed, the internet will go crazy. I'm glad I know how you feel because I ride for you, Charlie.
Beautiful. That's Lord.
So cute. Yeah. And then Charlie goes, you know, I ride for you too.
Oh, that's so cute.
So yeah, it's you and me on the coin the industry loves to spend.
Opposite sides of the same coin.
Like the industry was profiting off that feud. And like I said, it's easier to endorse opposition than friendship.
100%.
And they're kind of just breaking bounds in doing this remix and shunning all the people that endorse them hating each other.
Yeah, media outlets that
exactly
really like profited
that
off of this.
Yeah, that's true.
They're quiet now.
Exactly.
They gagged.
So yeah, that was Girl, So Confusing, the remix with Lord.
Whoop, whoop.
I loved that. I love this song. I love how much is encompassed in this couple sets of lyrics behind this poppy techno club song.
So powerful. Well, alhamdulillah, the girls are not beefing.
It speaks
volumes. The girls are not beefing, guys.
It speaks volumes.
It's actually like very powerful when you look at it from that perspective. And I'm glad we had that yarn about it because it would trigger anyone in a very awkward position with that one friend or that one person to reach out and be like, let's talk about it.
You never know. And oftentimes in my life experience, when I have, it has been so much better than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's not that scary. Just do it. And if that person doesn't respond the way you want them to,
the door's closed.
At least the door's shut. Yeah. At least you tried.
Yeah.
And move on.
That's true. Okay, to finish this segment, I wanted to ask you if you had any female friends or family you wanted to shout out who you love and appreciate, despite ups and downs, you just got like, you ride for them.
I ride for
other people. Don't be offended if you get
mentioned.
There's
sorry.
So many. We could literally, we should list everyone that follows us and
yeah,
lists the sovereign.
100%. I'm just going to say Beck because I'm related to her and because that's it. No, Beck, because she is my ride or die. She will show up. I was having a little bit of a scary moment at my house and she was like, girl, I'm pulling up. And she's just really, she's the type of female friend you want because there is just such a level of innocence to her where she will congratulate you over anything. I feel like every time I get nominated for an award or if I have like an article coming out, she'll be the first to publish it, post it on a story, hype me up. And I think that type of female friendship is so important. But also, like, a lot of my other female friends do that, who I love deeply. I love them with my heart and soul. Mm. So if you're not, I'm sorry I didn't mention you guys, but I think first person that comes to my head is Rebecca Morrison because she's my queen. She's my everything. And she's been there for me through my hardest
times.
Thick and thin. And she's my mum's favourite. So.
I would say definitely Enya comes to mind because you're very extra close to someone once you've hated them.
Once you've hated them.
And had a big beef.
And it's a funny thing to mention as well.
we laugh all the time about it. Enya, she has no obligation to be there for me as much as she is. Mm. We actually used to be like neighbours, so that was pretty cool. So yeah, she comes to mind. And also my sister, who obviously did our cover art for the pod and was on the sisters episode. She's like yet to do, well, she does a lot for me, but like as an older sister, you always kind of provide more to your younger sister.
Yes, of course.
But I feel like her presence in my family dynamic actually really
makes a difference.
Positively impacts the way that like my life goes. So yeah.
No, that's so beautiful. Shout out my sister. That's beautiful. I mean, yeah, I shout out my two sisters as well, I guess.
your little sister's so cute. Like your little sister.
Oh, she's adorable. We call her Walking Google. She just spins fun facts to randomly, and she sits with her glasses and she's just talking. So cute. What a place to be. Living in the middle of the hills and the
sea. It's so rude to me that I get to chase my dream. My friends and my family, I mean. We are going to quickly do a round of Sovereign Tea.
Yes.
Which is our thoughts, energy, and affirmation for the week.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm just trying to think of mine.
Yeah, I know. I think my thoughts are about, like, not making life so mundane.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. Because I do, like, go to my office job and like that. So, I'm going to make life interesting, make the days not as mundane and, like, just travelling through, not really remembering anything significant. My energy is going to go towards pushing through my final leg of academics.
Yay!
Before my holiday.
And you're off.
My affirmation. Oh my God, I just saw myself in the reflection. I got so scared. I was like, who is that looking at me?
You did double take and I was like, are you okay?
My affirmation is, I'm doing this for a purpose.
Hey, that's beautiful. Because
I've got to remember the long haul while we're in it.
Yes, amazing. That's such a good tea. I can't compare. My tea is just pretty standard. It's just like my thoughts are just taking life with a grain of salt. Don't take everything so personal, Char. Like, just take it easy and do your thing because at the end of the day, like, you're human.
True.
My energy is probably just going to go towards fostering my female friendships in the heart of this episode. Yeah, exactly. So, and my affirmation is you deserve to be taken care of.
Ooh.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Lovely.
It was lovely having this yarn.
Chat.
Yes. Such a good episode. And we will see you guys next
episode. See ya.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
You've been listening to Sovereign, a new RTRFM podcast by Sister Girls for Sister Girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people that may relate.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm IJ.
And Sovereign would not be possible without the help and support of our team.
Big love to photographer Colt Baxter for our beautiful cover photo.
Music is Summertime Flow by Noongar Whangai rapper Joshua Eggington and Tani Walker. Sovereign is produced by Charlene Baloch and IJ McKenna.
Our artwork is by my sis Lavinia Nedolia McKenna.
Our executive producer is Daniel Raphael.
This podcast was created and recorded at RTRFM on Whadjuk Noongar Boodja. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This land was never ceded.